You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 182, brought to you by Podcasting with Purpose, helping you to stand out, be heard, and become an influential voice in your industry with a podcast. And I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, answer honestly, have you had a business idea or a dream about starting your own business? Yet, whilst you've had great ideas, you just really haven't gotten them started. They're not off the ground and that dream has not yet become a reality. Well, if you've answered yes, then you're in a treat for today's show, because joining us on today's show is Susan Jones. Susan is the founder of Ready, Set, Startup, which helps new entrepreneurs find a business idea that aligns with their purpose and then build that business to launch successfully. Now, on the side, she's also a lecturer in entrepreneurship at Swinburne University. Now, on today's show, Susan is going to share Back Yourself, Get Aligned to God's Vision of You, and Then Act Out of That. She's going to talk about how the best business ideas, guess where they are? They are inside of you. Let's talk about that a little bit later in the show. As well as the business part of business, it's relatively easy. Letting God heal you so that you can execute well, well, guess what? That's going to be the hardest part. And so much more. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. So fun to be on with you today.
Oh, good. It always has to be fun. Fun is one of my core values too. Whilst we're sharing great information, and of course, on this show, being the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, being able to honor God in every way in our business as well. So it's such an honor to have you on the show. So give people an idea, if you will. I always love to share a story of our guests, how they got into the business that they're running today. Was it something that you were always passionate about? Has the lecturing in entrepreneurship at Swinburne University, has that kind of guided you? How did that transition for you in your journey?
It's a bit of a story, so I'll give you the short version. Okay. Actually, when I did my first degree and I graduated from university, was nothing to do with business at all. So I started off in music, actually, as a composer and a music educator. You didn't know that, did you? So I did that for quite a few years. It was so fun. I wrote a lot of music for theatre and dance and community arts projects, which I love, but wasn't paid very well. However, working in the arts, you really have to create your own work if you're going to make any kind of living at all. So I realized really quickly that I had all these technical skills in terms of, you know, music and creating music and performance, but had no idea how to run a business. So my first business was actually as a music education consultant, and I ran workshops in schools for VCE kids, teaching them how to perform on stage and teaching them how to, you know, do well in their VCE music exams. Yeah, so I guess that was my first entry into business.
Wow.
And then a bit further on, once I got married and my husband and I were doing a bit of investing, and we decided that we wanted to move into business. So like a lot of people do when they make that decision, they looked for different business opportunities. Which was probably the worst idea ever. If anything's got the word opportunity, you know, attached, you can usually read scam into that. But anyway, we looked at a number of different things with, you know, not really the success we were looking for. And we finally bought a business. Long story short, it was a disastrous decision. We actually ended up suing the person that sold us the business, taking them through the Supreme Court, having to freeze their bank account. Like, it was the most stressful year of our life up to that point. And as a result of all of that, I went, I don't want to give up on business, but I really want to learn how to evaluate what makes a great idea. I wanted to give myself the background knowledge to really do this well. So from there, I went and did a master's in entrepreneurship and innovation at Swinburne, and learned fantastic frameworks in terms of evaluating ideas, starting businesses, growing businesses. Mm-hmm. Worked with lots of people who were doing amazing startups. And in that journey, I started talking to lots of friends or seeing people that were starting businesses who were just missing some of the information that I had learned. And I would look at their business and think, and if they'd just done this or they'd tweaked it this way at the beginning, instead of folding the business, they'd actually have a thriving business. So I started the Ready Set Startup blog in 2009 just to start sharing that information. And through that, people started coming and saying to me, can you help me? I've got this idea. Can you help me launch it? Or I know I want to be an entrepreneur, but I don't know how to find a business idea. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, what I'm doing now really started out of that.
Wow. I love that backstory, because so often the experiences that we have, and even our challenges and our worst moments, which I'm sure at the time that you and your husband were experiencing, it was probably the worst thing that ever happened to you, but then, as we know, God always provides, and you stayed strong and you've learned, and through those challenges it's developed character and expertise that you're now sharing with others. And I love that, because, you know, sometimes as an entrepreneur we do have different ideas, and you're going to talk a little bit more in a moment about one or two things that we need to consider from the practical aspect. And then, of course, for Christian entrepreneurs, there may just be business ideas that God says, you know what, I really haven't created you to be a voice in that area or an expert in that area. Here's where I've designed you. So we can talk about some of those spiritual aspects too. But looking back, what would you have said was the greatest lesson that you learned through having to go through that business? Well, we'll call it a failure, because failures, when we allow them to teach us learnings, can be where we have our biggest insights. So what were some of the insights you learned?
So many, really.
What would be the biggest, do you think?
I think the biggest one that I brought forward with me now, and I also encourage other entrepreneurs with, is that in business you don't know what you don't know. Well, in life, really, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
But in business, that's what's going to shoot you in the foot. So it's really important, mm-hmm. I think, in business to have mentors around you, to be part of a community. And if you're going to be successful, you actually have to have all the ducks in a row, if you like. You have to have all the principles set up. And they're actually the same for every business. I know everyone thinks their business is
different,
is special, and it is. But the principles of business are the same across every industry, every business. And if you've neglected one of those, your business is not going to work. So for me, it's not to walk into something in ignorance. I think that do well in whatever it is that you're wanting to do.
So let's look at some of those fundamentals in business then. You said, you know, it doesn't matter what industry we're in, what business that we're running, there are some key fundamental things that we have to have in place for our business to be successful. Is it a long list or a short list? Can you just rattle them off to say, if you don't have these things in place?
Seven.
All right, let's list them.
Seven things. Okay, so the first one is you've got to evaluate your opportunity well, which is what I did not do in experience I just shared. So there's some really simple things that you can do to do that. You have to make sure that there is a market, and messaging is important to really catch your potential customers, and so that they kind of go, yeah, this is a product or service that I want. The next thing is technical feasibility. Can you actually produce and deliver the product or service that you're wanting to sell? No. And usually people are really good with that one. First two, not so much. The technical stuff, most entrepreneurs have got that down, because it's usually in their wheelhouse. It's already in their field of expertise. And the fourth one is personal fit. And we'll probably touch on this a bit later on with what we're going to talk about. It's really important that whatever business you end up either buying or developing is a really good fit for your goals, your passions, your skills and your experiences, because that's going to give you the best opportunity for success if there's a really good fit there. If there's not a good fit there, then there's often lots of gaps in your knowledge, which is going to trip you up or take you a really long time to learn. Mm-hmm. So the next one after that is, I'm counting off on my fingers here, you're testing my memory, is execution ability. Like, do you have all the resources and the skills around you to execute well? And there's some really specific things there. Number six is financial feasibility. Mm-hmm. So can you make money from this business? And then the last one is risk. You know, have you covered off the risks? Mm. Have you mitigated? Do you know what they are and have you mitigated them? So when you've got those seven things in place and you've really thought through and have a good plan for each of those seven things, it's not going to completely guarantee that you'll be successful, but you will be so far ahead of the eight ball and you will have uncovered so many issues that could trip you up.
Yes, love those seven things. So let me just repeat them briefly and then we'll dive into back yourself, get aligned to God's vision of you and then act out of that. And that really fits into the personal fit. So there's the opportunity well, the market and the messaging, the technical feasibility, personal fit, which you're going to dive into in a moment, execution ability, financial feasibility, and risk. Have you mitigated and thought about those risks? So important. So let's talk about backing yourself. Why is this so important?
Okay, just before we do that, can I quickly mention, if anyone's wondering about how they're measuring up on those seven things, I've actually got a free tool available for entrepreneurs to use.
Oh, fabulous. Good.
Can I mention that
here? Yeah, mention it now, and then we'll mention it at the end of the show as well, just to remind people, for sure.
All right, so if you go to www.scoreyourstartup.com, you'll find that tool there. You can use it for free. Once you fill it out, you get a personalized report for your business that shows you how you're measuring up on each of those seven things and what your next steps might be.
Fabulous. Love that resource. Thank you. And we'll share it again at the end for people to remind them. So backing yourself, this is where you say it's so important to get aligned to God's vision of you and then act out of that. Why is this so important?
I think fundamentally God's created us all for a purpose, right? We read the creation story, well, the whole gospel story really is about how God's interacted with individuals throughout history, and he's so wanting to have that relationship with each of us. Mm-hmm. And he has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And because he created us, he knows everything that's inside of us.
Yes.
And he sees so much more potential in us than we do in ourselves.
Yeah.
So I thought of a little example that we might use. And I actually thought of your daughter, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is okay to mention, but I know Danny has a fitness business.
Yes.
And she's a personal trainer. And she's kicking goals and doing amazing things. As a parent, you would have seen potential in Danny when she was tiny, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a parent, we look at our kids and we're going, wow, they can do this and they've got this skill and this ability. And the child themselves doesn't necessarily see that at that time. Mm. But as a parent, we see that. And I feel like God's like that with us. You know, he sees all this potential and he's brought us through this life journey that equips us for his plan. You know, through the, as you said before, right, through the hard times and the good times as well.
Absolutely.
But if we don't kind of acknowledge that he has that bigger picture of us, mm-hmm. we can get really stuck in our present circumstances or, you know, what's happening to us or the messages negative messages we've received from people. And God has so much more for us than that. Bill Johnson has a quote which I love, and he says, I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have about me. And I think when we really understand how much God loves each of us, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he's put inside of us and what Jesus has done for us on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And when we really understand and walk that out, there's a whole another level of life for us to live.
Yes.
And I think it's really important to get, you know, like, we're not perfect. So I can't say I walk in that all the time because I get down on myself just like everyone else. But I'm learning that when I'm in that down place, I have to look up again, you know, and find my way back to that vision of who God has created me to be.
Yeah, it's so true. I love the example that you used, and as you shared that about Danny, I recall the picture when she would have been about 18 months. She'd put some of my leg weights around her. We've still got a picture around her ankles doing weightlifting, you know, in her legs. And we do. And that really reminds us that so often there are skills, strengths, and seeds of ability, if you will, that others will often see in us if we're not able to see that. So sometimes it's going back and just journaling. You know, what do people often come to me for? Is there something that they'll often compliment me? Oh, you're such an understanding, or you've got such great wisdom around that area. That can really be a sign into some of those areas. So that's such a great reminder. And it's so true, because sometimes God's developing, if I look back in my life, God's been developing skill sets in me that I'm now using in a very different aspect of a field, if you will. So it's around the podcasting. But all of the skills that I've learned over the last 10, 20 years have enabled me to do that. So sometimes we may be in seasons where we are developing certain skills that we will need. And as you said, once we align with that, then we see that things really start to bubble along. I'm going to talk about the business part of the business is relatively easy. You know, when you've got all those things in place, you start having conversations with potential clients. There's a need there. They go, yes, I want to know more. But let's talk about, okay, so we recognize our skills, we recognize our strengths, we've kind of aligned with God's vision that we want to make an impact in this particular area. But then there's all sorts of different ideas that we can have. I'm sure there's 10 different ways that we can launch something or, you know, create something. So what are some tips to help us get the best ideas out of our heads and onto paper that we can really start to analyze which is the best idea?
That's actually a really big topic, and I actually have a 10-day program to help people sort that out. The key message in there is three things, I think. The research on creativity and, you know, making ideas shows that there's three components that we need. So the first is motivation. So I think, you know, anyone that's thinking about, I want to start a business, is already motivated.
Yes.
The second is expertise. And then the third is creative thinking skills.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do when I work with people is focus on the second and the third thing. So helping them identify what their expertise is.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't actually have to be the expertise from the industry that you've been working in. It could be from a hobby. It could be from lots of different areas of your life. Or there could be things that come out of different areas of your life that come together to create a really unique idea. So part of the process is just listing those things, like, what are my skills? What are my experiences? Who do I know? A whole lot of things there. And then applying creative thinking skills. When you hear the idea creativity, people often think, oh, I'm not creative, or, you know, that's for arty-farty people. You know, that's not me. I'm an engineer or whatever. But it's actually not true. So creativity, like, there's some very logical, very precise thinking processes that you can use to create ideas. And it's just a matter of applying those. Yeah. So your thoughts, you know, your expertise, if you apply those creative thinking skills to your expertise, you're going to come up with an idea that's really suited to you and that will give you a bit of an unfair advantage in the market.
Yes.
Because no one else can do it like you.
What would be one of your most favorite techniques to start that creative thinking process going? I think mind mapping is one that I tend to use. You just go with the flow, you write down an idea, and then you kind of create offshoots from that and get things going. What do you have a favorite technique that you use?
I have a bunch of techniques depending on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Two key things, try not to give you a go into university lecturer mode here, but there's two key things in the creative process. So the first one is defining the problem that you want to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is actually coming up with ideas to define that problem. And so there's different techniques for both of those areas that we need to cover. So really quick one for defining the problem, I like 5 whys. So this is, you just ask why 5 times. Mm-hmm. So start with whatever your statement is, I'm trying to think of an example really quickly off the top of my head. We need to reduce pollution in the city, for example. Then you say, why?
Bad for your health.
I really haven't picked an example I know a lot about here, actually, but you get the idea. So you keep you keep asking why, just like kids do, really.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, you get to actually a quite clarified statement of why this problem is important to fix. And it gives you actually quite a lot of insights along the way as well about things that are feeding into that problem. So that's a really easy one. An easy one for idea generation is using random words. So pick a random word, and the best way to do that is actually to use a random word generator on the internet. Look at Google it and you'll find one, because it makes us make connections we wouldn't otherwise make. If we try and think of one out of the top of our head, it's usually not random, because it's not how our brain works. So microphone and pollution.
Start a podcast to speak into that.
Sorry?
I said start a podcast to bring awareness about pollution and change. And but I am biased sitting here doing that. So it's certainly not random.
Yeah, so you might start coming up with ways to get the message out, for example. Yeah.
What I love about that is that so often we can assume or presume that something is not going to work, or we have a lot of doubts in our mind and we haven't really thought about it deeply enough. So I think sometimes giving ourselves permission and even working with someone such as yourself to really get the ball flowing as far as ideas are concerned, the clearer we get, especially around all of the key areas, the seven areas, when we have that so clear, there's a level of confidence that even if there is an issue or we do something in our marketing and it doesn't quite work out, it doesn't stop us in our tracks. Well, that's a shocking business idea. You know it's a great idea. You know that there is business out there. You've just got to change your approach then. And I think it's so important to do that. Now, let's talk about the business part of it. That is actually relatively easy. Letting God heal you so that we can execute well. That's the hardest part. What did you mean by this?
Okay, well, we could probably do a whole podcast just on this, couldn't we? I guess what I mean is a couple of things. When I'm working with entrepreneurs, what I see that most often trips people up is themselves, right? And I know in my own journey, what trips me up in my business is myself, you know? And I have a diagram on my website, which is what I call the formula to startup success. So start with a good idea, plus you need a market opportunity, plus there's you. And if you get all those things right, then you're much more likely to be successful.
Yeah.
But the you bit is the tricky one. And the way that usually manifests is what's happening up in our heads. So that's the thing that trips people up. It's what do they believe about themselves? What do they believe about their business? What are they focusing on? All of those things. And you know, I think God's really interested in our wholeness as people, and that he takes us through things so to give us the opportunity to grow and to become whole.
Mm.
And business is an amazing personal development journey, right? You can't be in business without addressing, you know, mindset issues or habits that trip you up, because you're just not going to be successful.
Mm.
I think it's not about that we fake it till we make it. It's about, again, going back to the truth of who we are in Christ, who has God created us to be, and standing in that. So I think that, you know, the business part, there's been a lot of people in business before. There's principles there that we can follow. Even if you've got a brand new disruptive startup, you know, there's still the ducks that you have to get in a row. But what's happening up here, you know, in our heads, are we really holding on to God? I think as Christians, the battleground is actually in our minds, because there's nothing, it's actually no other place the enemy can touch us. The only weapons he has is fear and intimidation, and they're all to do with how we think. This is something I'm sharing because I'm not perfect at this, you know. It's a journey that I'm learning, that I have to remind myself every day. And I, you know, I think it's the same for everyone.
Yes.
I think we just actually have to develop really good mental habits and deal with the stuff that God brings up, you know, as he brings it up. Not that we focus on what's wrong with us, that we recognize the reality of what's happening in our lives, and that we're open to God to touch us and heal us in those areas.
Sometimes in many of the businesses that I've spoken to, Susan, they said, well, we don't really get an opportunity to speak about Jesus, but we certainly are able to have incredible integrity in our business, deliver excellence consistently, how we, you know, do business and the experience we create for our clients is a way that we can show, you know, Jesus' love and compassion, because we just want to do the best for our clients. And I think, you know, our enemy doesn't want us out there, even if we are speaking about Jesus, absolutely, but doing business and influencing people and creating such incredible results for our clients that they will turn to us and say, what is different about you? You know, so the enemy is going to do everything that he can to cause doubt, to cause distraction, to cause whatever, so that we get distracted and think, well, you know what, business is too hard, it's not for me, I think I will close it down. But so important, as you say, to have all of those ducks in a row, those seven core pillars, and then do some creative thinking around that to really make sure that you've thought of everything that you possibly can. And then it's just day in, day out doing what you know needs to be done to create the momentum that you need, and obviously the message, the momentum, and then of course the clients will come and find out more. So share again the score, your startup, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you, and just share how other ways that people can connect if they're thinking of starting up, or they've got a new business and idea and they'd like to see if you can support them in generating some brainstorming around that. What's the best way for them to do that?
Okay, awesome. So two resources that listeners might find helpful if you already have a business and you want to know how you're doing in those seven pillars. Scoreyourstartup.com is the place to go to get that free assessment and tool. If you are not yet at that stage and you're looking for business ideas, if you go to readysetstartup.com/ideas, I've produced a guide that will elaborates a little bit more on what we were talking about today and gives you some ideas on how to get started in finding ideas. So people might find that useful.
Yes.
Really happy to connect with people on Facebook, Ready Set Startup on Facebook. I'm Ready Set Startup on Twitter, so connect with me there. Always happy to chat to people, answer questions, and connect.
Fantastic. And of course, we'll put all of those links, or those two links, on our show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE182. So thank you so much, Susan, for sharing. It's such a great way just to check in, because for some of us who've been building our businesses for a while, do we have all of those seven, you know, key pillars in place? Because as we're starting to scale our business and grow our business, if one of those are not, you know, solid and considered and in place, then that may just be what doesn't allow us to take our business to the next level. And certainly if someone's just starting out, it's a great opportunity to do a, you know, really a deep dive to make sure that the business idea that they have is certainly going to be one that lands well in the market, and that certainly is going to generate the outcome and the vision that they have. So please connect with Susan. So one of the things that I'm doing for all of my guests at the end of each show, Susan, is just to end the show with a word of prayer. May I do that for you today?
Awesome. That would be great.
Fantastic. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Susan today and just hear her wisdom, particularly for businesses who may be thinking about expanding or maybe thinking about starting a new business. And, you know, Lord, sometimes it is difficult to create a new business. There are so many challenges, but we know that if we align with our vision, when we align our business ideas with who you have created us to be, and if we lean into you and, of course, seek your kingdom first, we know that you'll certainly support us in being able to generate outcomes and a message that certainly allows us to build a kingdom business that honors you in every way. Father, we just want to ask for your continued blessing on the work that Susan is doing with her clients, particularly the businesses that she is working with who are kingdom-focused business. Lord, will you continue to bless them, give them both insights so that they can continue to spread the good news. Father, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you
so much for coming on the show. It's been a delight, and look forward to sharing this. It's so important, those seven key pillars, and thank you again for the work that you're doing.
And thank you for the work you're doing, Anne-Marie. This is amazing podcast. Thank you. So thank you for over 100 episodes already.
182.
Amazing.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by podcastingwithpurpose.com. Stand out, be heard, influence. Want to influence real change with your own podcast? Access our free podcast training, including no-cost and low-cost tools and podcast production workflow checklist, to get you started at podcastingwithpurpose.com/mini-training. That's podcastingwithpurpose.com/mini-training.